So we're gathered here today to celebrate the disappearance of our divine master, Srila Prabhupada. Generally, these kind of festivals, there's three major items that must be there. Other things can be added, of course. But fasting, so I hope you're all fasting. And then remembrance and glorification. So that is the section that we are coming to now. And then, of course, it's not complete without feasting. So that we'll do later. So before we start the glorification, we'll hear a class by Srila Prabhupada that will be on the screen. Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna, we're going to dive now into the remembrance and glorification of Srila Prabhupada. Before that, Murari Hari Prabhu will sing Gurudev Kirtan, Bhajan. While that's happening, I'll need a little help from you all to make the program flow. The senior devotees can come and sit in the front, sit up here, Maharaj, Janani Vas Prabhu. Join us. And show of hands, who's ready to speak something about Srila Prabhupada or some glorification of Prabhupada? Let me get a feeling. No one? Okay. That's a problem. How are we going to do this? I would need some help. I'll be sitting on the side of the stage over there. And if you want to speak, please come and see me before. We need to keep a flow going. Maharaj, I also need one of the senior devotees from the Yatra to help me. Is there someone who can do that? One of the senior group leaders, someone who knows everyone. I can see so many stars, but I don't know where the moons are, and I'm very my sight is not so refined, not so good. So please come and see me. Senior devotees, Prabhupada disciples, please come forward, join us. So without any further ado, I'd like to call on Gurudas Prabhu, who I think most of you know, to start the proceedings. Thank you.
Om Agnati Mandasya Jana Jana Salakeya Chaksu Nildam Jena Tasme Shri Gurve Namaha. I and we owe all of this to Srila Prabhupada. Literally and figuratively, we wouldn't be here if he didn't walk and go to the West single-handedly, not knowing anybody, having a heart attack. Most people would go home immediately, forging on. So we're not celebrating Prabhupada's disappearance. We're celebrating him throwing us out of the nest so we can serve him better. Because just this morning, hearing Prabhupada's words, it had the same effect as when I chant. Service. The devotees back in the Echo Village had to stay back. That's an honor. Everybody wants to go to the pilgrimage. I found a nice verse, 4th Canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th chapter, that the people who don't go on pilgrimage are Tirthapada. They do it because through their service. I had to stay back and procure Akash Ganga building while everybody went to the Kumbh Mela. I felt like I was going to university and it was vacation time and I had to stay there. When we procured Akash Ganga, I sent a note with Mr. Chabria, who was going to the Kumbh Mela. Can we come now? And Prabhupada said, of course, come immediately. He opened the gate of so many adventures, philosophical. I'll elaborate more tonight. And tonight I'll also tell about what it was like to be with Prabhupada 40 years before, when this was all fields. There was one straw hut, not even the building. Building came later. Now there's so many shops due to Prabhupada. He's helping them economically. We would have to go to one fruit walla about a half a mile away. Now there's hundreds. I'll elaborate tonight. Prabhupada is the most uncompromising but open-minded soul I ever met. And he was making Krishna consciousness fun, spontaneous, and an adventure. And I'm grateful to one of my best friends, Radhana Swami, for carrying this on. He says, let's go to Birla's party. It was like Prabhupada. Let's go here. Let's do this. Sometimes Prabhupada would give impossible tasks. Go to the ambassador of the United States, American ambassador, and ask him for a free house for the devotees, American devotees, on Sunday. The embassy wasn't even open. His wife kicked us out. We stayed in the driveway. He comes there. He's a very nice man. Oh, my wife is like that. He sneaks us to a room. My Guru Maharaj would like you to please give us a free house in Delhi because we're American disciples here. So the man looked at me kindly, but perplexed, condescending. I could read the machinations of his mind. I can't do this. These people are crazy. A little. But they're nice. So I said, oh, he said, I'm sorry. I just don't have the means to do this. So I said, well, my Guru Maharaj's plan B is that we will take a place to stay in Delhi in any currency of the world. You want yen? Okay. Prabhupada had it in his little black bag. So we're here. It's so beautiful in Bengal again. It's lush and green, and there's pukurs every place. And so in Calcutta, there was a pukur across the street from the Calcutta temple. So I had so much association with Prabhupada. That was my sadhana. I would think any excuse to be with him from the beginning. So I go into his room, and Prabhupada is sitting on the floor. He says, "I have fooled them." I say, "Who? Who, Prabhupada? Who have you fooled?" "I have fooled the mosquitoes." Now, mosquitoes don't seem to have any good thing to add to the world. And I was like a little child before Prabhupada. I asked him, "Can we wear a Lord Nrisimha mask on Hari Nam?" I asked him, "Isn't snuff an intoxicant?" And he said, "Drug is medicine or intoxicants, depending on how you use it." So he's sitting on the floor, and he says, "I have fooled them. They rise." So I say, "Prabhupada, are there mosquitoes in Krishna Loka?" He says, "They don't bite. They sing." So there's the difference. And we're an alternative. This manifestation, you and me, Prabhupada instilled Das Anu Das, that could change the world. Literally could change the world. We want to see each of us succeed. Please approach me if I can serve you in any way. And that's what Prabhupada has given us, and that's how we can honor him today, because we're not celebrating his disappearance. We're celebrating how he has manifested in our heart, and when we think of him, he is there. And a day doesn't go by when I don't say, "What would Prabhupada do, or what would Prabhupada say in certain situations?" So he has manifested all his books and all the tapes, and we're very fortunate. And we can honor him by serving each other and serving the world, bringing prasadam and harinam. Tonight I will tell how the first harinam manifested, if I remember. So we're honoring Prabhupada by our service to each other and the world. And I'm so happy to be here, and I thank you very, very much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Gurudas Prabhu. Sankarshan Prabhu. Sankarshan Prabhu has a program across the river. He has a little center over there. So he has to, he wants to speak something and glorify Prabhupada before he goes and does his program over there. So I'll call on him now. There's a mic. Can you pass him the mic? Okay.
Hare Krishna. Namang Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pucharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshutarine. So it is a very auspicious day for us, because today is the 36th disappearance anniversary of Srila Prabhupada, and we are very fortunate this year. Our festival is graced by the holy presence of Srimad Radhanath Swami Maharaj, one of the most beloved disciple of Srila Prabhupada, that we see 4,000 people are here and they are doing Dham Parikrama. It is a wonderful thing in the history of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada, after his preaching, he in West, Tern County, in the West, he returned to Calcutta in the month of August 1970. He brought all the foreign disciples, American disciples at that time. And particularly in our temple, a few disciples like Jayapataka, Achyudanando and myself were there. I am the only Bengali guy who was there. And he instructed Jayapataka, Achyudanando and myself to distribute books in the office area of the city. At that time, Kolkata was passing through great political turmoil. Anyhow, the three of us daily performed Harinam Sankirtan in Esplanade, Chaurangi and Dalhousie Square and distribute back to Godhead magazine among all the publics. Srila Prabhupada was extremely satisfied with our book distribution and he wrote me a letter on 20th October 1973 saying, "I am very pleased to learn that you are helping in the preaching work by distributing our books in Calcutta. This is very important work. The more our books are distributed, the more people will be become convinced about this movement and they will be benefited from it. I wish that you can continue in this way." This is one incident. There is another incident in my lifetime. It was in 1973. Once Tomal Krishna Goswami had an unbearable toothache problem in the year 1973 at Kolkata temple. When Srila Prabhupada asked me to take Tomal Krishna immediately to a dentist, when I hurriedly took him by a taxi, that time we have no car in Calcutta temple, to a dental surgeon at North Calcutta for his treatment. That day Srila Prabhupada was so worried and anxious that he could not sleep until Tomal Krishna came back after treatment. At about 10 o'clock at night, when Tomal Krishna turned back, then Srila Prabhupada arrived hurriedly to see Tomal Krishna and advise to carry on with the proper medication. With great love and affection, Srila Prabhupada blessed me for my humble service on that day. So, in that way, we are seeing that Srila Prabhupada was very, very dear, beloved to his disciple. And nowadays, I have seen in Calcutta temple, there, that is a actually memorial place for us, because from that place, Srila Prabhupada sent Tomal and Bali Mardhan to purchase the land in Mayapur and also some other places. So this is a historical place, 3C Albert Road. And it was in 1975, Srila Prabhupada once called me into his room at Calcutta temple and he exposed his desire to me regarding his birthplace in Taliganj. His last desire is this respect was that a memorial temple should be constructed at his birthplace in Calcutta. In this connection, I would like to recall that he had written me a letter from Juhu temple on the May 1977 before left this planet. In that letter, he had written that we should try our very best to acquire the birthplace with the proper of with the purpose of erecting a nice memorial temple over there. We have acquired so far some position of this birthplace and we have been trying our best to process the rest of the land. We hope that we shall be able to get the entire birthplace within a few of years, and that we will be able to fulfill the last desire of Srila Prabhupada through the Calcutta temple. Hope all my godbrothers, they will help, and they are very dear to Srila Prabhupada. When they visit the places where Srila Prabhupada performed so many Leela in Calcutta, and not only that, I am very pleased to see today that in Godroom there are so many devotees are coming, and they are doing Parikrama, Bhaktivinoda Thakur house, Samadhi and Bhajan Kutir. This is a special boon from Srila Prabhupada that Radhanath Maharaj was empowered. Otherwise nobody can see 4,000 people are here and they are all chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the special mercy of Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Assembled Devotees. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Sankarsan Prabhu. Narataki Mataji, are you ready to share with us? This is Narataki Mataji, and she's going to continue.
Namo Vishnadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Simadu Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamini Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pachayini Nivashesha Shunyavadi Pashtvatyatya Shatayini. To contemplate Srila Prabhupada and his divine activities is a privilege we get in a very concentrated way, especially on his Avyabhav and Tirubhav Mahotsavs, and therefore both are festive occasions full of happiness in his remembrance. Just by personally coming to the West and meeting us in our own environment, Srila Prabhupada could assess us properly. In the beginning, he could only give us a few but most valuable things, that is his personal association, the holy name and prasad. By this he brought us out of the depth of ignorance. By his association he pulled us out of the grossest ignorance, because he had a mission which he was dedicated to. Gaga Muni describes this very nicely. In the beginning only a few devotees were thinking how to give something to the Swami instead of only taking from him. So he asked, what are we supposed to do, Swamiji? So Srila Prabhupada said, it is the duty of a disciple to assist his spiritual master in his work. Work? Srila Prabhupada doesn't work, he was thinking. He is a religious teacher, but one thing he does every day, that is the translation of his books. But he only types with one finger, and that will take him a long time to complete. So when he saw a dictaphone in a shop, he bought it for Srila Prabhupada, and that really sped up his translation. I was in Australia, and I understood that immediately that Prabhupada had a mission to spread Krishna consciousness all around the world, and we would be able to help him in that. Because I came from a Christian family, and missionary activities are there also very very much the center of the religion. But the most the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he was asking us to participate, was much more exciting and much more in depth, because the knowledge that he gave us of the soul, and many deep spiritual concepts that we had never heard of. And then I was discussing also about the holy name. First he gave us this association, then the holy name. And then of course to hear the holy name from Srila Prabhupada's lips was the most mystical and sound I had ever heard before. I just wanted to dance when I heard his voice chanting, and all of us experienced what is ecstasy for the first time in our lives. I had never heard the word of ecstasy before, because in the material world there is not such an experience. So Prabhupada, you know, in Australia where I joined, Prabhupada's voice was the first thing that we experienced. And we were so addicted to hearing Srila Prabhupada's voice. We had the tape recorder always playing in the temple, chanting Hare Krishna or giving some pravachan. And that was our first experience of Srila Prabhupada. And it was very profound. And then prasadam is needless to say, we could just not resist. This prasadam would unite us as a family. Even we may have had some different opinions on different subject matters, when it came to prasadam, we were united. We would all agree that this prasadam is out of this world. Gradually, Srila Prabhupada added some very basic philosophy and a lot of examples and explanation to help us assimilate all new and amazing concepts, such as transmigration of the soul, reincarnation, the fact that the Supreme Absolute Person is a person, and that it is not just an impersonal concept. Like I was brought up in a family of, my father was a Christian priest, and I remember when I was graduating from school and went to nursing school. In our town there was no nursing school, so I had to go to another town. And I was living with a friend, the family, a friend of my father's, who was a theologian, and he was often having, discussions at the dinner table about the absolute truth. And, you know, I never, from these conversations he had, this friend of my father's had, I never understood the absolute truth as a person. When I would hear the absolute truth, it was just a concept. Some letters would appear in front of my eye, but never was I thinking that it could be the Supreme Lord himself. And that is what Prabhupada, you know, I'm just explaining that because to you who are born in India, this is for granted that you know immediately that the absolute truth is Sri Krishna himself. But for us, it was the most amazing discovery. And so Prabhupada explained that this is a supreme entity whom we can even meet if we become qualified. Unheard of in any other religion that we could meet God personally. Prabhupada even told us that his name is Krishna and what his address is, as he used to say. Then he explained how Krishna has set up the administration of the universe and the most essential laws that we need to observe. And most important, he gave us the link to connect to Krishna through the Guru and the Acharyas and the Parampara. If you remember how the computer world was developing with all its links to people from remote places around the world, links to be able to conduct your work on a super broad international scale, links to tap into all branches of knowledge, etc., What could never be imagined was now unfolding. We became thrilled, excited, what avenues were opening to us in this computer world. Well, that is how excited we felt in the association of Srila Prabhupada. He was our link to Krishna and to Lord Chaitanya and the Panchatattva and to the world of Vaishnavas like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Six Goswamis, Srila Haridas Thakur, and all the people around us taking interest in Krishna. They were not strangers anymore of a different nationality, religion, race or sex, but they were becoming our God brothers and God sisters, no ordinary people. And when we went out on Sankirtan, distributing initially only leaflets to invite people to the temple, we didn't consider them weirdos, as we would call people we did not like before. Now we saw them as part and parcels of Krishna's family. And after he taught the basics of Krishna consciousness, he invited us. I was initiated after 6 months of coming around to the temple, and others even sooner. He made it very easy for us. And then came the day that Srila Prabhupada took his first disciples to India. By that time, he had trained the devotees sufficiently for them to benefit from the journey to India. There he would introduce them to the Vaishnava culture and outer culture of India. They arrived on October 1970 in Bombay. The main activity throughout the day was Nagar Sankirtan. Prabhupada wanted Brahmananda to set up preaching engagement. Small or big, Prabhupada was happy to go. One time only two people turned up, so Brahmananda apologized. "It was not worth your time. Only two people came." Prabhupada said, "No, I'm just like a cow, giving milk wherever I go. Never mind." Once they had a sammelan of yogis from all around India, and the venue was Chaupati Beach. Each day, near the temple now, Chaupati Temple, each day one of the Swamis would speak. They also invited Srila Prabhupada. At first, they didn't like that Prabhupada would have his disciples come on stage, but Prabhupada told them, "The Western Vaishnavas are just as advanced as the Swamis and Yogis here. I want them to go on stage with me." So then they agreed. He introduced the devotees as Swamis and Yogis of their own rights. On one hand, he was showing the devotees his country and culture, and on the other hand, he was now showing his countrymen what he had done in the West. Huge crowds came, and Prabhupada was stealing the show. As Shamasunda said, this is Shamasunda speaking. There were the Somanis, a very religious, wealthy family in Bombay. They were promoting Hindu Dharma all over India, so they influenced all the aristocratic Hindus. When they came to know Prabhupada had spread Hindu Dharma all over the world, they were astonished. They felt that for the first time, an Indian had gone abroad and preached Sanatan Dharma and really had an impact on people's life. But the most they were impressed with was Srila Prabhupada's humility. He could speak very briefly, referring to his disciples and work in the West, and then appeal to the ladies and gentlemen by quoting the verse, "Danti nidhaya trinakam padayor nipadya." "You are all learned, intelligent, and the highest people. But I stand here with a straw in my mouth, begging you to chant Hare Krishna." That was Srila Prabhupada's humility. That Prabhupada was so respected amongst the aristocratic, pious Hindu families was such a boost of the disciples' faith in their guru, and more they learned how to respect Srila Prabhupada. As they traveled around with Srila Prabhupada, they felt that the train was just a vehicle to take them from one Harinam Sankirtan and Pandal program to another. About 20 devotees arrived in Allahabad on the 5th of January 71, and Prabhupada came a little later on the 13th. They had a Pandal at the crossing of Kali and Yamuna roads. Just like Srila Prabhupada said in Allahabad, this whole city all of a sudden would appear, and then after the Mela, it would disappear again. So roads are created there. And he sometimes compared that to the material world. It's built up and then it is taken down, destroyed. So Prabhupada said there was the Hanuman Mandir in front of our Pandal. And Prabhupada said that this Hanuman Mandir was millions of years old and was standing there since the time of Lord Ramachandra. Prabhupada told that this festival is thousands of years old, and if you take bath in the auspicious at the auspicious constellation, you are guaranteed liberation. Hamsadutta asked if that was actually true. Prabhupada said, "Yes, it is true. But we didn't come for that because we are already liberated. We came here to preach Krishna consciousness. But Tamsudra, I heard he snuck away anyway and still took bath at that particular time. The Iskon Pandal was the only one that had a deity worship program going on, and the deities were Sri Sri Radha Madhav. Also, there was, and Prabhupada was very proud of that. I mean, so he was very happy with that. Also, there was daily prasadam distribution, and Prabhupada took the devotees every day on Sankirtan. In the evening, he would lecture on the history of Ajamil. Allahabad is a very prominent place in the history of the Gaudiya Vaishnav, Gaudiya Vaishnavism, because Rupa Goswami was instructed there for 10 days by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the teachings of Bhakti. Later on, Rupa Goswami, who was considered the most prominent of the Goswamis, wrote down all these instructions in form of his most prominent Granth, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Then in the early 1930s, Prabhupada was living in Allahabad. He spent many years during his grihastha life there and was running a very successful pharmacy. He used to go regularly to the Sri Rupa Gaudiya Math and support the preaching and the deity worship there. The deities were actually donated by him. And I forgot their names, I think there were also Sri Radha Madhav and a Mahaprabhu deity. And in 1933, he was initiated at the Math. One day, Srila Prabhupada took the devotees to that Math. As these first devotees like Giriraj, at that time Brahmachari, Giriraj Dutta Brahmachari, Brahmananda Das Brahmachari, Hamsututta Prabhu, Madhavisa, Revati Nandan, Nanda Kumar, Achyutananda Das Brahmachari, Malati, Yamuna, Kashalya, Himavati, and I'm sure Gurudas, you were also there. And I think I heard, I'm not sure if that was at another mela, but okay, so these were the main devotees that came first. And they also went with Srila Prabhupada from Bombay to Surat to Amritsar, Gorakhpur and other cities around India. And the daily activities was the Harinam Sankirtan, Prasad distribution and attending Srila Prabhupada's Pandal programs. And actually, you know, 4 years later, I the description of their Harinams, and of course Prabhupada was personally on the Harinams, at least in Allahabad, I heard. In Surat, he would send them out, but in Allahabad, he came personally out with them. And I remember that this program, of course, was the most important and was immediately introduced to all the devotees. And I remember 4 years later when I came for the first time to India, that was still the program. We went on Harinam. And as they have experienced and described in Surat, the reception of these Vaishnavas was just incredible. You know, and their faith, again, was increasing so much because this is a city of Vaishnavas and they were appreciating the saint Srila Prabhupada. And we had just known him as Swamiji and who was sharing our humble surroundings. So we didn't know the importance of Srila Prabhupada, but that was revealed then. And so, you know, the Harinam, I remember here in Mayapur, the Harinam, we'd go from here to Yoga Pit on Harinam, and I think we didn't have in those days microphones. The Sankirtan party, when you see any pictures of that, they were all staying together. And actually we had the habit, as the ladies were always usually in the back, we would always try to be right behind the men so that we could hear the kirtan and respond. And at the Yoga Pit, for the first time I saw the Vaishnavas, means the Bengali Vaishnavas, reacting to our kirtan in such an ecstatic way. And we were so surprised because in the West, the Harinam was always, you know, the people were kind of well, who are you people? Kind of, you know, that attitude. And sometimes with their arms folded in front of them, you know. But here, the Bengali Vaishnavas, they would walk after us, they would lie on the ground, and they would roll in the dust. And that just brought tears to our eyes, you know, how humble they were and how they were appreciating the Harinam. And that was just the most amazing experience. And this is what Prabhupada wanted us to see, the Vaishnava culture. He wanted us to experience this Vaishnava culture. I have just a little more to go. In 1973, when the Mayapur Festival came more firmly established, about 200 devotees came mainly from Europe and America. Prabhupada came for 3 days leading up our Gaur Purnima. When he arrived, he was welcomed at the yoga pit with a vibrant kirtan, clapping, singing, jumping, shouting, Jai Srila Prabhupada. As he got out from the car, he led his disciples into the temple room. It seemed as though he was making an offering of his disciples to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What a father we have in you, Srila Prabhupada. What a spiritual master and beloved devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Radha Krishna we have in you. And what a friend to the fallen we have in you. Please give me your protection and allow me to serve you eternally. Your disciple and daughter, Nartaki Devi Dasi.
Srila Prabhupada ki! So, here is Radha Jivan Prabhu, and he will speak something.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Iti Namine Namaste Sarasati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesa Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshatarine. I beg forgiveness. According to protocol, I should not be here speaking. I really desire to make a small offering, and I have to leave for Calcutta, so I interrupted and crossed the line. Since I was a young boy in ISKCON, we always celebrated Srila Prabhupada's appearance day and Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. And as a young boy, I always had difficulty understanding and celebrating Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. And I was thinking about this since yesterday. I have been here in Mayapur, where Srila Prabhupada's presence is so much felt by even a devotee like me. And I was thinking, disappearance day, Prabhupada's disappearance day. And this is the answer I have received, that why has Prabhupada disappeared? He has not disappeared. Prabhupada is appearing constantly in the hearts of thousands of devotees and constantly increasing. Devotees are increasing. Their hearts, their melted hearts that cry in front of the deities, that raise their hands when they come to the temple. This is the appearance of Srila Prabhupada. When they read the literature of Prabhupada, this is the appearance of Srila Prabhupada. When they go out on book distribution, this is the appearance of Srila Prabhupada. How Srila Prabhupada used to distribute his pamphlets at tea stalls in Delhi. When they go out to communist countries and countries like Russia in snow, this is the appearance of Srila Prabhupada. Every moment, Srila Prabhupada is appearing, increasingly so, when devotees are taking the burden of building millions and millions of dollars worth of temples and distributing prasad and helping people, the hungry. This is the appearance of Srila Prabhupada. It is the compassionate heart of Prabhupada that is appearing constantly in all our hearts, and increasingly so. It is taking over the world. So I refuse to celebrate the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada. I will always appreciate and celebrate the appearance of Srila Prabhupada. If there is one heart in which Srila Prabhupada has not appeared, that is mine. This is where Srila Prabhupada, from this heart, he has constantly disappeared. When a king is asked for something in a big court as big as this, in front of everybody, then usually the king does not refuse. And today, on this great celebration, I ask very humbly from Srila Prabhupada that why leave this one heart alone? Please genuinely appear in my heart. Make me a sincere devotee. Everything I do is all artificial. I know it. I proclaim it today in front of all my God brothers and God sisters. Please genuinely appear in my heart and make me a pure devotee. This is what I ask of you on this celebration. Srila Prabhupada, please do this for me. I will tell a small story that has happened in my life regarding the appearance of Srila Prabhupada. I was a young man, 25, 26 years of age, and my father had passed away in 1986. And before that, when my father had become quite old, and he would say a few things here and there, as old people speak, he mentioned to me, he said, "I have met your Srila Prabhupada." And I was thinking, I wish you had met Srila Prabhupada. My father is just saying these things because he's gotten old. And if he had met Srila Prabhupada, why is he mentioning this to me after 8 years of me being devotee? So that was it. I heard this from my father and he passed away. And I went about my business, my work. 7 days after my father's passing away was Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja celebration. In 1986, and the Vyasa Puja book came out in Calcutta Temple. And one devotee came to me and said, "Adi Rudha, there are 5 pictures of your father and Srila Prabhupada in his Vyasa Puja book." It was impossible. I couldn't believe it. And I looked at that book, and true enough, there were 5 pictures of Srila Prabhupada. One, he was blessing my father. One, he was laughing with my father. One, he had a bead bag, and he was handing over a life membership form to my father at 6 o'clock in the morning in the Hanging Gardens of Bombay at Nepean Sea Road. This was Srila Prabhupada, always on a mission. Always. And later on, there was one other person who was in that picture. I met him only 2 years ago. And he told me that he remembered your father inviting Srila Prabhupada to his home in Patna. And Prabhupada refused. He said, "You must become life member if you want me in your house." So this was the mission, single-pointed attention, a missionary for Sriman Mahaprabhu. And this is how he accomplished everything. And this is what we have to become if we constantly want Srila Prabhupada in our hearts. We must give up all our inebrieties, differences between devotees. We must humble ourselves, make our lives austere, and serve Prabhupada like Srila Prabhupada served his Guru Maharaj. And this will be the greatest appearance of Srila Prabhupada in our hearts. We will feel it all the time. Again and again, Srila Prabhupada blessing us, Srila Prabhupada reciprocating with us if we make our mood like this. Just yesterday, I heard from one devotee. He was telling me in the car coming back to Mayapur. He said, "I met one very old Bengali communist and I was trying to get some work out of him. And I told him that if a very nice road is built from Calcutta to Navadweep, Mayapur, then many, many Bengali people will come. And in Navadweep, there is Sonar Gorango, Golden Goranga. And everyone can take darshan, go to Navadweep to take darshan of Sonar Gorango." And that old Bengali gentleman, he said to him, "Not Sonar Gorango, Sada Gorango, White Gorango." So from this, I understood that Srila Prabhupada's love to spread the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu changed his complexion from Sonar Gorango to Sada Gorango. And thousands of Sada Gorango are all over the world preaching, chanting, and dancing. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
Mahatma Prabhu, you don't appear to be ready, but you are next. The mic is right there. Sorry.
I like to sit somewhere where I'm not invisible. Maybe sit here? Now I'm ready after that talk.
Thank you.
Thank you, Radhajivan. I wasn't ready to speak, but now I'm ready. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desitarine. Guru Das won't remember this. I'll tell the story because he's sitting next to me. The first time we went to Vrindavan and Mayapur was 1975. And at that time, Guru Das was taking us on Purkrama. So in those days, we didn't have this. And because we didn't have this, we spent a lot of time in the toilet, like most of the time. So we went to Vrindavan. We were all very sick. And we got on a bus on our way to Govardhan. And Gurudas said, "How do you feel?" Everybody said, And Gurudas said, "No, how do you feel?" Because Gurudas was very inspired. Being in Vrindavan, we could see that. And he wanted us to transcend our bodily inconvenience. I don't know if you remember that, but I remember that. Both Gurudas and Radhajivan Prabhus were talking about Prabhupada being present. When I look at all of you, then I feel very much, as Radhajivan said, that Prabhupada is present in all of you. And I want to tell a story to show how Prabhupada is present, or at least was present for me, and how he is still present today. I became a devotee in December of 1969. I was 19 years old. And after I'd been a devotee, I had moved into the temple in January, and after I'd been a devotee for 8 months, I was asked to go to Vancouver, Canada, to be the temple president. So you find this awkward, but that was not uncommon. So I had just turned 20. I was not so inclined to manage, but anyway, I accepted that service. The GBC escorted me to Vancouver, told me some things. I had no experience managing anything. And then he told me, "There's $500 in the bank. The rent is $250. You'll have enough money. Money's coming in this way and that way." And then he left. So the next few days I went to the bank to pay the rent and found out one zero was missing from the 500. there was only $50. So this was the beginning of a service which had caused me great anxiety. The devotees in the temple were not very cooperative. Actually, one really didn't want me to be there. And so there was a lot of tension. One of the devotees changed his moods periodically from the nicest guy in the world to the meanest person you'd ever meet. And you couldn't time when he would change. If I knew when he would change, then I could just not be around at that time. It was very, very difficult for me. The police stopped us from doing sankirtan on the street. Stores were complaining. We didn't have a van. We didn't have a vehicle. It was snowing in Vancouver. We'd have to take a bus. We finally got a vehicle. We couldn't pay for it. They came to repossess it. We had to push the man who was repossessing the vehicle away from us and get in the vehicle and drive off so he wouldn't take the car. Every month would come. There was no money to pay the rent. So I was in intense anxiety. Actually, they say, chant Hare Krishna, be free from anxiety. I was chanting Hare Krishna, and I was in more anxiety than I'd ever been in my entire previous 20 years. So I did not want to be in this temple. And I could barely continue daily with the anxiety. And then one night, I had a dream. And Prabhupada appeared in the dream, and he was rubbing my hands. And it was a sensual dream. I could feel him rubbing, just rubbing and massaging my hands and relaxing me. And he didn't say anything, but he communicated, it will be okay, it will be all right, don't worry, everything is okay. Subsequently, within the next year, those three devotees that were making it difficult for me and the situations which were making it difficult for me left. And 11 new, wonderful, angelic devotees joined the temple. And everything did become wonderful. And everything became very, very blissful and very, very ecstatic. So I'm telling this story because Prabhupada was not present in Vancouver, but he was present in my dream, and he was sending me a message to help me in my service. And if Prabhupada could come to me from a distance, he was in India at that time, if he could come to me in a dream and encourage me, then why he cannot come to any of us today? Because that was already beyond time and space, wasn't it? So he's not within these dimensions of time and space. So for all of us, Prabhupada is very connected and very much can guide us, inspire us, give us intelligence in our service. So I'm just reiterating the theme. It's not disappearance. But he's very much present. And I just wanted to mention something that I don't think a lot of you consider. When you are our age, most of us on stage are 60 years or older. Some are 70. When you are our age and you're sitting on stage and the younger devotees, like we see many younger faces, they're going to say, Prabhu, you met Prabhupada's disciples? Can you tell us what they were like? You are a disciple of Radhanath Swami? Can you tell us what he was like? I can't believe it. And they'll roll out the red carpet for you. And hundreds of years from now, what do you think people will think of the second generation of disciples? Will they really make a distinction so much between first, second? I don't think so. So I think we should appreciate that this is an historic time in ISKCON's movement. I want to tell an interesting story. 1971, in Vancouver, Prabhupada wrote a... Prabhupada, we got... It wasn't a letter, but Prabhupada was in India, and
we would get messages. They were sent as letters of things Prabhupada said. So Prabhupada said, if anyone will go anywhere to preach Krishna consciousness and not consider where he will sleep or how he will eat, I will take the dust from his feet and I will put it on my head. So when we heard that, we decided we will fill our van with books. This is the middle of a Canadian winter. We will fill our van with books. We will only take enough money to put gas, petrol in the gas tank to get us to the next city. And we will take dal and rice, not even any pots. And we will depend entirely on Krishna. And we drove off in the Canadian winter. We went to a town. And all we knew what to do was to do Harinam Sankirtan. We went out in the town. There was no one on the street. It was 8 o'clock at night. I think it was November. What's the town? The first town? Kamloops or something? From you leave? Some town. There was one person on the street. He was the town drunk. He was the only person. And this is when we were starting Krishna book distribution. And no one had distributed Krishna books except a few books we distributed in Vancouver. So we had one devotee who was very enthusiastic. So he went and approached the town drunk with the Krishna book. And he bought the Krishna book, gave him $8. And we found a hostel to stay in. They put us up overnight. They fed us the next morning. And then we went out door to door and we met the cousin or aunt of a devotee and she gave us the pots and the vegetables. And then we cooked. So we were very, very happy. We were completely dependent on Prabhupada. And this is how we lived. So we were feeling very much Prabhupada's presence. And everywhere we went, people would take care of us. And then we did a program in Edmonton, Alberta, which I think Edmonton, Alberta is as north as Moscow, isn't it? It's covered with snow, 6 months, 9 months a year. We went there, and there was a Hindu society, and they organized a program. And this was the first time that Hindus in Canada, this number of Hindus, had seen the white devotees. So we did this program and they couldn't believe it. And I remember sitting down to give the lecture and I felt Prabhupada was sitting next to me, speaking. And I was just, words were just coming out of my mouth. And all the devotees felt very much Prabhupada's presence. And after the program, a man got up and he said, I cannot believe, but I feel like we're sitting in a temple of India, in India, amongst sadhus. And mind it, we were 6 months, 8 months in the movement, 1 year. So Prabhupada is very much present in our efforts to preach. In all of your efforts to preach, Prabhupada is there. If you speak to any of the book distributors that were present during Prabhupada's time, they will tell you, my association with Prabhupada was on Sankirtan. My connection with Prabhupada was on Sankirtan. Very few had any personal association. At one time, Prabhupada was with the sannyasis, and Triparari had gone out to do book distribution. And he turned to the sannyasis and said, he's doing the real service. So Prabhupada also felt close to those people who were doing service. So I wanted to thank all of you for being here. I wanted to thank all the devotees who so nicely decorated Prabhupada's samadhi, his vyasasan, the devotees who are now cooking that we don't see, all the devotees who are doing service. I just want you to know I appreciate so much everything you're doing for Srila Prabhupada. I think in many ways you're doing more than we're doing. You're carrying on his mission. So I know Prabhupada is very close to you and very, very dear to you. Now I'd like to tell a story about Prabhupada and how his spiritual master was with him, just to keep this theme. And I don't know, Bhavananda, were you in San Francisco in 1970, Rath Yatra? I don't know if you were in the temple when Prabhupada came, but when Prabhupada came to the temple room, the temple was wall-to-wall, shaven-headed brahmacharis. And so, at that time, 1970, there was no Mayapur festival, there was no New Vrindavan festival, there was no Parikrama. It was, the Rath Yatra was where everybody came. wasn't it? As far as I remember. So devotees from everywhere would come. So it was the largest gathering of devotees at the time. So the temple room, it was not a big temple room, but it was full. And it was probably the largest gathering of devotees at that time. And Prabhupada stopped at the doorway, and he just stopped, and he looked, and he gazed over everyone. He didn't walk in right away, and he was just beaming. Just, you know, taking in this beautiful vision of shaved heads and saffron. We didn't know what was going on. And then Prabhupada sat down on his Byasasan, and he chanted the Guru Vashtakam, which, as far as I know, is not something he would do when he would come to a temple. Is that? No. So he sat down and he chanted the Guru Vashtakam, and we were wondering why. And later we were told that Prabhupada said that when he came to the temple door, he was so impressed and so happy to see all the devotees there that he stopped and he called his Guru Maharaj to come see. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is always with Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada is always with his sincere servants. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Arrivo. Yashamati Devi?
Excuse me, sorry.
Hare Krishna. I offer my humble obeisances to you, Srila Prabhupada. Dear Srila Prabhupada. Now I offer my humble obeisances to all my God brothers and God sisters, every one of them, who always show so much compassion that they've inherited from Srila Prabhupada. And I offer my obeisances to every single one of you present here or hearing us. Every single one of you who has made the chanting of Hare Krishna the purpose of their life. Every one of you is actually a living proof that Srila Prabhupada's mission is successful. This is what Srila Prabhupada wanted. He wanted more and more people to chant the holy name, and I think that the proof is here. We've seen everyone chanting. Gurudas mentioned earlier how, Gurudas Prabhu mentioned earlier how Srila Prabhupada made Krishna consciousness fun. I also feel that Srila Prabhupada made Krishna conscious fun. But then I was thinking, how did it come about? And I think that is making Krishna consciousness fun is because of the overwhelming amount of joy that was in his heart. And this joy came from living the instructions of his spiritual master. What was very special about Srila Prabhupada is that he knew how to translate what Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati had already said in a way that we were able to grasp. I was preparing a little bit for this, and I came across a quote from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, where he says, "The five transcendental relationships exist in all completeness within the Supreme Lord." Now, that's very clear. None of us, I think, have any problem with that. It's easy to understand. But then he continues. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur speaking. "But we will be unable to gain transcendental knowledge of the Lord if we engage our moods in the worldly counterparts of these five instead of dedicating them to the Supreme Lord himself." Now that's pretty heavy. Unable to understand transcendental knowledge of the Lord. And I was remembering Srila Prabhupada did speak to us about that, but how did he present it? Now if we look at how Srila Prabhupada presented it, Srila Prabhupada told us, when a person becomes attracted by Krishna and is in full Krishna consciousness, he doesn't care for any worldly duties, even though very urgent. Krishna consciousness is so powerful that it gives everyone relief from all material activities. Srila Rupa Goswami has written a very nice verse wherein one gopi advises another. This is still Srila Prabhupada from Nectar of Devotion. My dear friend, now this is Rupa Goswami speaking. My dear friend, if you desire to enjoy the company of material society, friendship and love, then please do not go to see this smiling boy Govinda, who is standing on the bank of the Jamuna and playing his flute, his lips brightened by the beams of the full moonlight. Srila Rupa Goswami indirectly instructs that one who has been captivated by the beautiful smiling face of Krishna has lost all attraction for material enjoyments. This is a test of advancement in Krishna consciousness. A person advancing in Krishna consciousness must lose interest in material activities and personal sense gratification. This is the way Srila Prabhupada presented it to us. This is when I realized how Srila Prabhupada purchased our hearts with such a gentle approach, not forcing anything, but encouraging and nurturing a fledgling attraction. I so admired his compassionate words fostering his disciples, and I admire all of my godbrothers who also find a way to do this. But then I wonder, what am I going to do? How can I fulfill the mission of my spiritual master? I'm not a scholar. I'm just an insignificant Mataji living in Mayapur. Then I came across something that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote, where he was describing the Gosti Anandi. And he says, the Gosti Anandi becomes absorbed in kirtan, and this is his preaching. This is something that every one of us can do. We can do kirtan, and that be our preaching. That be our way of fulfilling Srila Prabhupada's mission, helping him. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
La Prabhupada Kid. I think Bhavananda Prabhu doesn't need any introduction. I just hand him the mic.
But not seen.
Yes. Can I just get through here? I want to plop myself down here. Next to my beloved godbrother and his beloved spiritual master, right in between. I feel safe. Okay.
Is this working? Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Did everyone hear what I said? Okay. There's a famous American folk hero named Johnny Appleseed. Johnny Appleseed, many hundreds of years ago, he took a big bag of apple seeds and he went across New England and the Midwest distributing these seeds, sowing the seeds everywhere. And in time, apple trees grew up. That's how the apple was introduced to America. Everywhere, apple, and of course today is America, the United States' favorite fruit is apples. So Prabhupada was like a transcendental Johnny Appleseed. He went everywhere. There was not one continent that he did not visit. South America, North America, Africa, Australasia, Asia, Europe, everywhere. He went just sowing seeds of Bhakti Lota Bij, the seeds of devotional love, the creeper of bhakti. That's Prabhupada. And today we're seeing, I'm always amazed,
that here are all the blossoms. Now everything is sprouting. Prabhupada passed away. He left us externally in 1977, but he stayed with us and is manifesting himself, as you said, in all of the devotees. You are the fruits of Prabhupada's preaching. So I want to thank you. I never thought that Krishna consciousness... I'll tell you a story. Prabhupada was standing on the veranda of the Lotus Building, and he was looking out. There was no park there then. He was looking out across the rice fields, and he said to me, "Why they are not coming? Why they are not coming?" He was concerned. No one was coming, you know, like in... And I said, "I don't know, Prabhupada." What do I know? I don't know Prabhupada. So now you can see they are coming. As a matter of fact, they're coming in such numbers. Those of you who have been here on Gaur Purnima, there's so many devotees coming from all over India, especially all over Bengal, that we can't even handle them.
Haribol.
Yeah, Haribol. Anyway, I'm speaking three times today, so I'll keep this short and I'll save my, you know, my star performance for later with my godbrother Guru Das. I just want to tell you a dream I had the other night, and I told this dream to Radhanath Maharaj. In this dream, Prabhupada and I were sitting here. I was sitting here, Prabhupada was here. And Prabhupada was chastising a devotee like this. I won't tell you what his name was. And while he was chastising him, Prabhupada reached out and put his hand on my right-hand shoulder and pulled me over, so my head was on Prabhupada's shoulder. And this devotee gave me a look. Yeah. And Prabhupada sensed it, and he said, "What?" And then I said, "Prabhupada, so-and-so, blank, is giving me a look." Prabhupada understood exactly what that meant. And he said to me, "He does not understand. There is enough affection for everyone. So you are also recipients of Prabhupada's affection by blooming, blossoming of your devotional life in your heart. That is a symptom of Prabhupada's affection." I'll tell you another nice story about shoulders and heads on shoulders, and then I'll finish. In 1969, Prabhupada came from London to Boston. So they told me, "You're going to be Prabhupada's servant. You drive the station wagon." So we picked him up at the airport, drove him to the temple, and then we had rented a house, maybe 20 miles outside of Boston. And it was very winter, and it was very icy on the road and on the snow banks. And not as bad as Canada, but, you know, pretty icy. And Prabhupada and I was driving, and it was just the two of us. And Brahmananda and everyone, they were in a little Volkswagen behind us, and there was another car behind them. And I'm driving along fast. Prabhupada said, "Bhavanand, whenever I am here, Bhavanand should drive." He said this in India. He said, "Because he is fast and sure." Anyway, I was driving along right over the ice. As a matter of fact, I went over one ice patch, no problem. And Brahmananda spun off, they went off the road. No one was injured.
Anyway, I'm driving along. Suddenly, I feel something on my shoulder. And it was Prabhupada resting on my shoulder. And I thought, how loving and how much faith he has in me. Then I became very careful about my driving. But anyway, I have more stories to tell tonight about Prabhupada. I thought the first time I speak, what time are we speaking, Guru Das and all of us? 4:30. Yeah, that I would give a, this is just to try and entice you all to be here on time. But that I don't think that, no, not too early for me. I'll give you a shortened version of my last year that I spent with Prabhupada from January 1977 up until the minute of his departure. And so if you all want to hear that, I'll try and keep it brief and tell you different nice stories. By the way, Prabhu, you shouldn't feel that you didn't have intimate connection with Prabhupada. I had much intimate connection, physical, but you had the more intimate connection by following the instruction of book distribution. There is nothing higher in this universe than fulfilling Prabhupada's desire to have his books distributed all over the world, other than the building and the completion of the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium. So thank you all, and I always, of course, especially say this to the devotees, the wonderful devotees from Chaupati. Thank you for tolerating me. Thank you for putting up with my arrogance and my outrageous statements. And we welcome you all here to Mayapur. You have enlivened everyone, all of the devotees of Mayapur, by your dedication and your organization. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, I'll just remind everyone, we'll continue with these remembrances and talks until 12 o'clock. And at 12 o'clock, we're going to have Abhishek, and then offering will be there, Pushpanjali and Maha Arati. Thank you. And again at 4:30, as mentioned, the program will resume here at 4:30, and it'll go on till 6:45. And at 6:45, we will all go to the Samadhi and have that final remembrance program, remembrance of the disappearance, and that program will be over there in the Samadhi. So 6:45 from here to the Samadhi, and continue the program over there. Janani Vas Prabhu, are you ready? Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namani Namasti Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivashisha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine. So, on this auspicious day of the celebration of His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Paramahansa, Paribrajakacharya, Ashtotara Satoshi Shiman, Abhay Chananarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srini Prabhupada. We're here for his remembrance and association. I remember this day in the year 1977. It's 3:45 in the afternoon, and I went to wake up the deities of Radha Madhava. And as I went to touch Prabhupada's feet before I started the service on his picture, I saw Prabhupada, he didn't have any eyes. They were just black sockets. They were completely empty, and I grasped and grabbed the picture. I said, Prabhupada, please don't leave us. And this was all of our prayer at the time. We were always praying, Prabhupada, please don't leave. But we didn't get the information until the next day in Mayapur, where it was announced right after Mangalarati. But just before they made the announcement, I just finished doing the Mangalarati for Radha Madhava, and I was still inside the deity room, and then a devotee just popped his head in and he said, Srila Prabhupada left his body last night. And I was just stunned. And Radha Madhava was there, Mahaprabhu was there, the Parampara, Guru. I was staring at them, they were staring at me. And then I clapped my hands and I said, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada, for the wonderful show. So this was, when I came outside, I broke down and cried, but I felt, in being in the deity room in front of them, I wanted to appreciate what Prabhupada did in just a few short years on this planet. What a wonderful show. Nobody has ever equaled, actually, what Prabhupada had achieved in the history of mankind. So we're all very grateful for what Srila Prabhupada has given us. Specifically, I remember the Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, Krishna's talking about the akshara, the sara, the fallible and the infallible. And I was also reading Gita, but not Prabhupada's Gita. I could never understand that, and the commentators didn't comment on it because it was too obvious, actually. But Krishna's saying there is a fallible and an infallible. There is a material, those in materially conditioned souls, and there are liberated souls also. And then there is the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Lord, who has entered into the worlds and is maintaining them. So this was a big puzzle for me. And how can there be three? You're talking about, I could understand there was some a spiritual nature and a material nature, but then there is the Supreme Lord enters in, that he maintains. So that's creating a duality, I thought. And the commentators on the Bhagavad Gita, they couldn't comment on it because it was so obvious. And so when I read that, and Prabhupada's translation and of that in his purport, then everything made sense. You know that God is a person, and in the next verse, then Krishna says, because I am beyond the fallible and the infallible, therefore I am celebrated as that Supreme Personality of God, at Purushottam. He said, I am fallible beyond the jivas, the conditioned jivas and the liberated jivas. I am beyond them. I am also beyond the Paramatma, who is that Lord who enters in the material worlds and maintains them. And because I am celebrated both beyond the fallible and the infallible, therefore I am celebrated as that Supreme Person, Purushottam. So it was so enlightening for me. Of course, Krishna is describing here the living entities of Brahman, so Brahman realization, the Lord who enters in the world is Paramatma, so Paramatma. And even beyond, there is that Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there we have another personality there. So how had it really wiped out this conception of impersonalism and following the path of impersonalism? Just reading one purport of Prabhupada's, how it just completely changed my life. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, oneness, because we were all into one at that time, the oneness, wanted to understand the one. Oneness doesn't mean that there is no individuality, but that there is no disunity. And when I read that, that is the real explanation of oneness, what oneness was. And I became so happy in Krishna consciousness, and I just became so happy. My mind became so. I immediately accepted Krishna consciousness on Prabhupada. Simply on, he just defeated all of what I had valued as spiritual life. Just in one little sentence, Prabhupada just set us right. And I think something happened to everyone, and it was something immediately happened to them through Prabhupada, through the whichever path they were following. So specifically, I want to thank Srila Prabhupada for that wonderful show. That wonderful, most wonderful show to me is how he picked me up from that path of impersonalism, nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatyadeshvatayana. This is Prabhupada's explanation of the pranam mantra that he wanted. He had namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani. But that was also used for Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. But Prabhupada chose his own pranam mantra as namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nili Vishisha Shunyavadi Paschatya Adishatarini. So this was Prabhupada's speciality, and absolute is sentient, thou hast proved impersonal's calamity, thou hast removed. And he said, my Guru Maharaj is very much like this. And he would quote, did you hear Abhay Babu has verse? He's written in my Vyas Puja offering. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved impersonal's calamity, thou hast removed. So Prabhupada understood the mission of his spiritual master. And Prabhupada knew how the world is full of impersonal and voice. So how Prabhupada, in one sentence, you know, he can really wipe everything out for a devotee. So I think this was the wonderful show, at least for me, that wonderful show of Prabhupada picked such a wretched person out of the gutter and the jaws of the impersonalist philosophy and established me in the lotus feet of Krishna, where we all belong. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Harimati Mataji will say something now. A little bit.
Hare Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinami Namaste Sarasadi Deva Gauravani Pachani Nimisi Sasunyavadi Bhaskachari Natale. Today is a day that I always get these mixed feelings. When Srila Prabhupada was very ill, and we used to chant 24 hours kirtan. We were in Germany. We had come back from India, and so we are engaged to chant 24 hours in the temple in Germany. And we would always asked Krishna, every morning they announce, dear Shri Krishna, dear Radha Madan Mohan, if you so desire, please let Srila Prabhupada live. And I had two children at the time, so we were very engaged in the activity of being a mother. But we were staying in the temple. So then, suddenly, the temple commander came and knocked at all the doors and said, everybody has to come downstairs immediately, no matter who you are, if you're a mother, if you're a cook, if you're a brahmachari, if you're old, if you're young, just come all into the hall downstairs. And so I knew my whole body was trembling, and I knew what the news was. And Haikesh Maharaj was there, and he was giving the announcement that Srila Prabhupada had left his body, and Srila Maharaj, he led everybody into the samsara prayers. It was very emotional. People, devotees were crying and laughing, and it was a very terrible experience to lose your father, such a dear father, that your whole life was dependent on. Later when I came to gather my, my composure, so I had to reflect to what is Srila Prabhupada want for me, what did he want it, and who he was for me. So, first of all, he was a very caring person. He would always care. Even though he would chastise, he would care. We were the pioneers, they would call us, you are the pioneers in the Hyderabad farm, and doing 76, 77. So when Srila Prabhupada came there, we only 8 devotees at that place. And we are supposed to, we Westerners, we don't know how to do farming. We don't know anything. They had this place donated to us from some rich man. And they had about 108 cows. That's what I was told, about 108. Only 4 of them gave some little tiny bit of milk. And 1 horse. It was an old race horse. Her name was Dollar Princess. So Srila Prabhupada would sit in the evening and just give these talks. And every once in a while, maybe some guests came. I remember one, some students came. They were biology students. And Srila Prabhupada said, these people don't know anything. They know only the middle, but they don't know what is in the beginning and what is in the end. So, and we were in the, they were building a house for Srila Prabhupada, but in the meantime, Srila Prabhupada was staying in this tiny small farmhouse that there was just 3 rooms, and in the front there was a veranda. So since I had the 2 babies, so I was there on one side. Arundhati, Prabhupada's cook, was with me. Prabhupada was in the middle, and on the other side was Pradyumna and Harisori Prabhu. So, needless to say, Srila Prabhupada had to tolerate all our the babies, sometimes crying. So, my son was very hungry for milk, 2.5 years old son. So I would go to the goshala and I would watch the guy squeeze some milk out and he boil it right there. And then, so I'd take it with a tiffin around to the front of the house and give it to him in there. First I had to cool it down. So Srila Prabhupada would always watch me come, with the kids. And my son would cry, pull on my sari, I want my milk. So one day, and one of such days when he was crying, I would come around. There was also in the same building, there was a bathroom where Srila Prabhupada used to take his shower. And bucket bath. And it had swing doors. And so I just came around and suddenly it was like Nrisimhadev appeared. Those swing doors just boom, popped open. And I was standing there with my son and hot milk and Srila Prabhupada just popped out of that bathroom. He was holding a razor in one hand and a lota in the other. And he was wearing a gamsha, blue and white gamsha, I still remember. So, and his face was shaved, was full of shaving cream. So he was in the process of shaving. So one half side was already shaved. So, but he came popping out of that bathroom, raising this razor at me. He said, "Why is your son always crying 24 hours a day? Can't you take care of him?" So my son immediately stopped crying. And he never started crying again. So he had a lot of respect for Srila Prabhupada, and I was like, wanted to disappear in the ground. So I was speechless, so I didn't reply to Srila Prabhupada. So later in the day, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was not well. So he would just sit. This was in December during the winter in Hyderabad, which was very pleasant, the sun in the winter. So he would sit outside on a chair, the only chair in the whole place, which was had a broken leg. It was my sewing machine chair. So he was sitting there with the his chest uncovered and just his cloth pulled up, his knees exposed and one leg up. And you just sit there in the sun, and so it happened so that there was nobody around. He was just catching the sun, the morning sun. So Srila Prabhupada, so I came out of my room and with my son. It was the same morning, and my son just went into the room and got a flower, and he ran up to Srila Prabhupada and gave him the flower. And Srila Prabhupada like looked at me, at the flower, and then my son went back and got his little, the only toy he had was a little book that I had made for him from cardboard and pictures of Krishna. They were the German proof reading pictures, because my husband was engaged in the book printing in German of the German of the BBT, the German books. So we got the, you know, the proof reading, so I could cut the pictures, and so I made a little book for him with, you know, plastic paper. So he was very proud, got in the room, and he ran out to Srila Prabhupada and gave him the book. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada just completely beamed and smiled over his whole face, rubbed the boy's head, put his arm around the boy, and he together they looked at this book page by page. And then Srila Prabhupada looked at me, he said, "So now your son is trying to make friends with me." So I learned from this experience that how forgiving Srila Prabhupada was, even though we displease him so many times, and our little efforts to please him, we're displeasing him. But Srila Prabhupada was, even if he would chastise, he would make up, and he would give us his kindness. He was so kind to his devotees, and in different ways. Actually, that farm was very, how you say, spaced out. We didn't know what to do with this place. You know, one morning Srila Prabhupada would just go everywhere and just got really furious about all the different things that went wrong. In the morning of the Guru Puja, it was just under the tree. Somebody wanted to give him a garland to start the Guru Puja, and Srila Prabhupada just plucked it away and said, "These flowers are from yesterday." And the devotees, and he said, "Look at all this dirt," because this was the same place we eat khichdi in the evening. So it hadn't been cleaned. And Srila Prabhupada, he said, "How we can have Guru Puja here? It's all dirty." So the devotees come and they go to the to the well. You know, you had to pull out the bucket, up the bucket with the water. You scratch, and they would try to clean the floor. And one devotee was taking his pocket knife and scratching in front of Srila Prabhupada. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, this is just an old knife, Srila Prabhupada." He said, "Oh, old knife, you better keep it for your throat." But so Prabhupada would sometimes, some things would come out, but he was so, still he was so caring that it also the same morning he just was so furious about everything, and he pointed at the kitchen, and there was a boga room that was visible. The kitchen was just like makeshift, like here. And he pointed at the door. He said, "Who's sleeping behind that door?" The devotee said, "Nobody. Prabhupada, this is a boga room." And he said, "Get him out." So then the devotees went there and opened the door, and there was a devotee sleeping and behind that door. So they brought him. "Prabhupada wants to see you." So they brought him in front of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'm sick, Srila Prabhupada." He said, "You're sick? You can never be too sick to worship your spiritual master." And so he was very concerned about worshiping, how important it is, the worship of the spiritual master. I was very lucky that time. Srila Prabhupada was there doing the disappearance day of his spiritual master. So he was very eager to have a festival, as small as might be. He wanted to have a small festival for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So in the little house that they were building for him, he asked them to make a Vyasa san for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we didn't know how to decorate it. We had only these old kind of pillows, they're kind of dusty. So he said, "Oh, doesn't have anybody a nice sari, or you ladies don't have a nice sari?" So I happened to have a sari that somebody gave me, some Benares sari that I would never wear in my life. It was silk. So we decorated the Vyasasan with Srila, with my sari. And Srila Prabhupada, he did artik. He offered artik to his Guru Maharaj. And later he was having some discussions in his room, and I was there at the door watching my son with me. And so he pointed at all the devotees and he said, "One day you all should become gurus." And so, and everybody at that time, we don't, you know, nobody was could understand this statement. But actually, it goes for everybody. It's like a chain reaction. You know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada and his disciples and then their disciples and their disciples. I mean, if Gurudev would have never gone to London, I mean, Guru Das would have never gone to London that Prabhupada instructed him, they would have maybe never met George Harrison. They maybe never would have made the record album, the Govindam Arif Purusham and the Govinda Jaya Jaya on the other side. Because that record was given to me for my 13th birthday by my twin brother. Here, check this out. Maybe you like side A. I like side B. So this side A was Govinda Maripursham, sung by Jamuna Devi, that we hear every day in the temple, and that is how I became a devotee. Thank you, Guru Das, for being so kind and following Srila Prabhupada, and by giving me this chance to also get in contact with Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Pancharatna Prabhu, the mic is in front of you.
Hare Krishna. Jaya Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budle Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pachani Nevisesha Sunivari Paschatide Shatarine. Srila Prabhupada, we're hearing today about your Shakti. and how it manifests in the beginning and is continuing to manifest. And the other day I was in Calcutta, very close to Ultadunga Road, where you first received the Shakti of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. With just a few words that you heard from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, your whole life, your whole mission became energized, and now we are here. And the other day, I was reading in Mukunda Maharaj's book, which is a wonderful story, The Miracle on Second Avenue. And again, I saw this principle of Shakti when Mukunda just recently initiated. He came to you. He thought, well, now I'm ready. Mukunda and Janaki, they were thinking, we're ready. Now we'll go to India. And so they were ready to go. They went to Srila Prabhupada and said, well, we're going to go first to Oregon, and then we're going to go to San Francisco, and from there we'll go to India. And so Srila Prabhupada says, well, you can make a center in San Francisco? Just few words. At the time, just like Srila Prabhupada, when you heard the words from your Guru Maharaj, you didn't really feel, well, how I can do that, how I can preach. So same way, the Mukunda Maharaj, at the time Mukunda, thought, well, all right, Swamiji is asking me, oh, thank you. Then he went to Oregon, we're going to India. And the story unfolds, I can't relate it that well, but he met an old friend who happened to be Shyama Sundar and Malati, and they heard this story and they said, well, that sounds like a neat idea. Why don't we do that? And they did that. And they went to San Francisco. And Gurudas, you went along with them. And it all just happened. And not just from those few words. From those few words that Shakti was invested. Now imagine, when I was in Calcutta, I was telling this story and I was saying, now, there were businessmen there, and I was saying, well, if you wanted to open a branch office of your business in, say, your Calcutta, you want to make a branch office in Mumbai, or you want to make another center in, what to speak of Mumbai, in London. How many resources, how many plans, how much anxiety, how much work you'd have to do to establish that center, that branch of your organization in some far-off place. And imagine Srila Prabhupada, just by saying a few words, he could invest so much Shakti that, like the monkeys that build the bridge to Lanka, if you read this story of Mukunda Maharaj's story of how he was at that time, dressed, he described himself just in Merlin robes and hair and this and that, but how he was able to serve that energy of Srila Prabhupada to manifest Krishna consciousness in San Francisco and then further in London with Gurudas and Shyama Sundar and others, to spread Krishna consciousness simply based on the sincere desire to please Srila Prabhupada. That was their mood. Well, Swamiji asked, maybe we can do this. He'd be pleased. So we all have that opportunity. We've heard a number of times here how Srila Prabhupada is present with us. Of course, there's a difference. Srila Prabhupada, we can't now simply get on a train or a plane and go to wherever you are and sit before you and ask questions and be sure that we'll get some immediate response. Now we have to invest our prayer. We have to invest our energies. We have to search for that response, but the response is there. Maybe it's a little more work for us now to connect with Srila Prabhupada. It requires more sincerity, more prayer, but the distance may seem greater. But in the same way, the distance is even closer, like Bhavananda Prabhu was mentioning, how simply in our dreams he can come. What to speak of simply opening his books. Open his book. See what you find. See how he speaks to you. He's there to speak and answer our prayers, answer our letters, write to Srila Prabhupada. I'm thinking that might be a nice thing to do. So Srila Prabhupada, on this day, I have to repeat the words of my dear friend Radha Jivan, how you have appeared in so many different ways, but still I am falling behind. Please, Srila Prabhupada, please appear in my life day after day after day and point me in the direction. Mahajana Jena Gata Sapantak. I may not, as it is said, we may not understand scripture, we may not understand anything, but if we simply follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans, that is the truth, that is the path. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So at this point, I'd like to invite His Holiness Bhakti Vibhuddha Bodayan Maharaj from Gopinath Math, my next door neighbor.
Hare Krishna. So, Bande Guru Pada Danda Bhakta Brinda Shamanitam Sri Chaitanya Prabhung Bande Nit Vananda Sahaditam Sri Nanda Nanda Nangabande Shiradhika Charanadayam Sigopijana Shamajuktam Brindabano Manoharam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. First of all, I offer my prostrate obeisance to my beloved spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj. Then I offer my Siksha Gurupad Padma, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Then I offer my prostrate obeisance to my grand spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur Prabhupada. As well as I am offering my due respect as a Vaishnavas. So today I feel really fortunate to be here at a time so many Vaishnavas I'm able to see. So I have so many things in my mind to speak. I don't know how long I have time. Okay, a little bit. So recently I got a VCD from Harishauri Prabhu about some conversation between my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Goswami Maharaj. Very nice, humble exchanging each other. It is just like few days before of Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Swami Prabhupada's departure, physical departure. It was in Bengali version. I think you may not know about that. But I have seen, as you see, he is successfully preaching everywhere. Everyone respecting him is a actually really great preacher. And all the Godbrother, they are respecting him. All of a sudden, when he becomes sick, then my spiritual master and Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj, they went to see with him. Also, there is some other devotee was there. Then he was asking all of his Godfather that out of my preaching activities, sometime I blaspheming you and all. Please excuse me for that. And at that time I was running behind name and fame. I become surprised. Then simultaneously they are also replied that actually Maharaj, your preaching activity, actually my especially Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj replying, Maharaj, actually you are not running behind name and fame. Your activity is such glorious, actually name and fame running behind you. So I was completely surprised and astonished they are exchanging. Actually, this is the nature of pure devotees. Like we have seen the Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Pad in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he explained that I am a more lower than a maggot and I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. If we think he is like this, we will commit offense. So a pure devotee, they may be humble, they may show us actual humility. Actually Vaishnavism based on humility. So Maharaj, although he is actually preaching very gloriously, he is success, but still he kept his humility in order to teach all of us. Also I have seen with my spiritual master the same thing. So in that way, we may come to conclusion, because I have no time to explain more. So we have to be short. So this is my humble request to you and all, that we have to be humble by any way. If you really want to establish Vaishnavism in our life, we have to be humble. Therefore, you can see Narottam Thakur, he explained to us that we have to keep due respect to everyone. Then we are able to chant happily and gradually we can remove all our offenses. Chakale samman korite shakoti deho natho jatha jato tabe to gaibo harinamo sukhe aparadha habe hato. So it is a perfect example. S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he is showing at their meeting with his godfather what I got the VCD. So I actually learn in that way. They say, even we are in the higher position, we have to be always humble. I have also seen this Radhanath Maharaj. I have seen in West how he humbled. Although he's preaching gloriously. But I've seen sometime we meet each other and be also together. But he was so humble. Today I'm here. That as soon as I heard that Maharaj is here, then I have to be there. In that way I come here. Anyway, I don't like to take any more time. So please, today, in this day, I am humbly begging to His Divine Grace, please bestow your mercy to carry the mission of Mahaprabhu with purity rest of my life. Hare Krishna.
Hari Bol. Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare
Krishna. This is Sharadanya Prabhu for those of you
who do not know. Hare Krishna, I'll be brief. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachani Nivisesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Desha Tarane. I'm just going to tell one brief story, which I did tell on Prabhupada's appearance day a couple years ago, but Rupa Goswami Prabhu says that there's no fault in repetition. In the last 6 months, up to the very end, I had the good fortune to live 24/7 with Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan as the co-body servant with Upendra Prabhu. And this is just one story from that time. In the summer of 1977, Prabhupada was staying on the terrace, that rooftop of his Vrindavan house, and I would sleep next to him on the floor on a duddy, a mat. And time to time, depending on his health, Srila Prabhupada would wake up in the middle of the night and I would take him into the next room under a mosquito net to translate. But on this particular night, at about 12:30 at midnight, Srila Prabhupada called me with his hand and asked me to sit him up in the bed. This is on that outside terrace in Vrindavan. And he looked at me, and in a very strong voice, he said, "Why do you deny the existence of God?" So I was very unsettled, to say the least. I thought perhaps I was thinking back to the rest of the day, the previous hours, if I had made any offensive or provocative statement that would lead Prabhupada to say that. But before I can even think, that refrain was repeated by Srila Prabhupada, and he said very strongly, "Why do you deny the existence of God?" Then I thought for a moment, this is all in flash moments, I just wonder if Srila Prabhupada is expecting me to give a challenge, some philosophical challenge. However, I thought if that not be the case, it could be very questionable situation for me. But in that same flash second, I said, "Srila Prabhupada," and in that same second, I thought of a conversation in America I had with my elder brother in New York, who is a big lawyer. And when I was discussing and preaching Krishna consciousness to my own brother, at the end he said, "I respect your chosen path," but his final statement was,
but I believe it's just a matter of faith. You have faith that there's God, and I have no faith. So remembering that conversation, I looked at Srila Prabhupada, and I said to Srila Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, it's a matter of faith. You have faith that there is God, and I have no such faith. So it just comes down to faith. Then Prabhupada, silent for a few seconds, looked at me and said, no, you do not understand. The thief in the prison house, a thief in the prison house, he has no faith in the government, but yet he's beaten with shoes. Now I'm just going to give just a two-second purport what that meant. I think you already understand. You may have no faith in God, yet we're being punished. Cancer, AIDS, old age, etc. So the thief in the prison had no faith in the government, yet he's being punished by his very presence inside the prison house. And Prabhupada said he's beaten with shoes. And then Prabhupada gave me no moment to recover, but said, so why do you deny the existence of God? Then I was kind of out of my repertoire, but I looked at Srila Prabhupada and I replied that I was getting a little bold, I hope not too bold, in my acting part. And I said to Prabhupada, where is your God? He's not here. I can't see him. No one else can see him. So therefore, I don't believe he exists. Then Prabhupada looked at me and said, but you are controlled. So why do you deny the existence of God? So I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, I am controlled, but it's not by God, it's by nature. Then Prabhupada looked at me and said, God, nature, whatever you call it, you are controlled and you are not the controller. There is another higher controller. You are controlled. So why do you deny the existence of God? So I said, retort to that, that yes, maybe I'm controlled and I'm not the controller, but the controller is not a person. It is just impersonal energy. Then Srila Prabhupada looked at me and said that, on what authority are you making that statement and speaking to me now? So I said, Srila Prabhupada, on my own authority. It's my own opinion. So Prabhupada said, you are no authority. So why do you deny the existence of God? So I looked at Prabhupada and I was thinking to myself, perhaps I've taken it a little too far. And I said, Srila Prabhupada, I cannot defeat you. And he said, of course not. And he said, do you know why? So I said, no, Srila Prabhupada, why? He said, because I am sane and you are mad. At that moment, he bade me to lie him down and set the pillow, and he went fast asleep. He only woke for that few minutes to have this exchange and went to sleep. Sometimes a story or a picture is worth a thousand words. I said I'd be brief. There's many other people to speak. So all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol, Hare Bol. Radhanath Maharaj, can I call on you now, please?
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyate Satarine Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. On the disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada gave a particular lecture in Los Angeles. When I first heard it, I believe it was in 1974. My service was, I was a pujari on an isolated mountain, and I was taking care of cows. It was on a little cassette tape. Srila Prabhupada began by saying that on the spiritual platform, there is no difference between the appearance and disappearance of a great personality. And he explained how Krishna's presence is always with us. And the spiritual master's presence is always with us. And in feelings of separation, vipralamba, there is the opportunity to come into the deepest experience of the presence of the Lord and his dear devotees. After explaining this, with such feeling, he began to give a narration of a summary of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life. And it culminated where he first met his Guru Maharaj on Ultodonga Junction Road in Kolkata, where at their first meeting, he was given an instruction. You are an intelligent young man. You should take this message of Lord Chaitanya and spread it throughout the entire world in the English language. And Srila Prabhupada, as His Holiness Sripad Bodayan Maharaj was explaining to us, in such humility, he said, I didn't do it then because I had a family. He said, but that was my mistake. I should have done it then. But he, 1922, he received that instruction. And it was in 1965, after an entire life of preparation, that he left India. Just before going on the Jaladuta in the King George Dockyards in Calcutta, he came to Sri Mayapur Dham. He writes in his diary, he spent the day at the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, praying for his blessings. After that, I believe 38-day journey on a cargo ship in New York, what he did to establish this movement, the few people that were coming, taking interest, he was cleaning for them, cooking for them. He was the only person to give lectures, the only person to give kirtans. He was guiding them in every aspect of their life. He was practically the babysitter of these people. The first people coming were hippies. Somebody asked Prabhupada later, a newspaper or a television reporter, what is a hippie? And Prabhupada said, something extraordinary. How much he invested, his heart, his soul, his life, in each and every person that was coming. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said on several occasions that about himself, he said, I have shed buckets and buckets of blood for each and every devotee who is coming to our society. And how careful we should all be to take care of them. That spirit that Srila Prabhupada had in fulfilling his guru's desire was so much affecting the sincere devotees who were receiving it. They were willing to leave their homes, leave their countries, endure incredible challenges, and be happy. Because that's what Srila Prabhupada did for them. I was thinking this as I was hearing Srila Prabhupada give this story. And then he came to the conclusion of his lecture. He became deeply emotional. He said, I am a very old man, and I could die at any time. He said, I am appealing to all of you. And then you could hear in his voice, he choked up and started crying. He said, please, carry on this mission of my Guru Maharaj. And I was thinking at that time, I was weeping and crying. And I'll tell you, every year after that, somehow or other, I would get that cassette tape and play it on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Prabhupada's disappearance day. Because I believe that that same instruction that his Guru Maharaj gave him in Calcutta, he was crying and begging us to take that same instruction in our own life. He wasn't speaking to just one or two or three of us. He was speaking to all of his followers. With tears, help me to continue this mission of my Guru Maharaj. Some years later, Srila Prabhupada came to India, and he just brought a few of his Western disciples with him. Gurudas was one. Gurudas Prabhu. It was very difficult, a great challenge. Srinathji Prabhu, who just left this morning, tells how Srila Prabhupada in 1970 came to his parents' house. Because his mother was a very religious lady from the Pushti Marg. And Srinathji was there. And he was very skeptical about sadhus. Because sadhus always want to get something from you. So is this sadhu going to be different? And Prabhupada, he asked three things from Srinathji's father. He said, I've come to India to spread Lord Chaitanya's mission. And there's so many troubles. There are antagonists who have spread propaganda that all my disciples are spies for the American government. He said, you are a member of parliament yourself. He said, you must eradicate this misconception. Second is this movement cannot go on unless they can get visas. You're a member of parliament. You should arrange long-term visas for them. And he said, one of my disciples, I think he was a brahmachari then, Jai Patak, Maharaj now, he said, I want you to make him an Indian citizen. He said, he is an eternal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's the first time they met. He accomplished all three. He went into parliament and fought for our movement and actually accomplished all three of Prabhupada's requests. I was living in India around that time, and when I had to leave just before going back to the West because I had no visa, I stopped through Vrindavan again. Because when I lived in Vrindavan, there was no ISKCON or temple. Only Srila Prabhupada came through with about 30 or 40 devotees for about 10 days. But then he left. And when I returned, it was the first time I saw devotees were actually living in Vrindavan. I only remember there were three. There was Gurudas Prabhu, Yamuna Devi, and I think Satchidananda, Bengali devotee. And they had just a little room on the upper floor of Radha Damodar Temple. And I had accepted Srila Prabhupada as my guru at that time because of, you know, how he transformed my heart by his compassion, by his wisdom. But I couldn't figure out what his disciples were all about because they were kind of strange to me at that time. Because I had left America and become like a sadhu. But I really wanted to spend time with them. And I would sit in their room and they would feed me prasad. Yamuna Devi cooked the prasad. It was super excellent. Simple but wonderful. And I would just listen and watch. My heart was so deeply transformed by the experience. Every sentence that they spoke, and I was with them, I would spend several hours every day. Every sentence they spoke was about what Prabhupada wants. They had no money. They didn't know anybody. Prabhupada just told them, go to Vrindavan and build a temple for me. And every detail of every aspect of their life was based around, how does Prabhupada want it? And they would just be discussing, this is what Prabhupada wants. This is how Prabhupada wants us to do it. This will please Prabhupada. And I was thinking, this is actually what it means to be a disciple. That every moment, every thought, every word, every action is to please the Guru. This is what I saw in a Grihastha couple. Something I rarely saw even in great sadhus. This is what Srila Prabhupada imbibed in their hearts. Because Srila Prabhupada was such an extraordinary example of that toward his guru in his life. I remember when I was listening to that lecture and Prabhupada made that appeal to us. It was so striking. Prabhupada was telling us that he may die at any time. It was agonizing. It was painful. And as Mataji was telling, whenever Srila Prabhupada would get sick, there would be 24-hour kirtan in every center of ISKCON, just begging Krishna. Prabhupada gave us a little prayer. He said, never demand anything from Krishna. You can pray to Krishna that if it is your will, Krishna, please keep our guru with us for a longer time. After he left, I heard that tape again. And for the first time, I really grasped in my heart the blessing of the responsibility that he's given to all of us. Srila Prabhupada told us before he left that he will live forever in his books, in his instructions, in his example, and especially in those devotees who love him. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. At this point, I'd like to invite His Holiness Bhakti Bichar Bharati Maharaj to speak something.
Om Gurave Gaura Chandrayo Sri Radhika Vaistadalaye Sri Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namah. At first, I offering my humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of my beloved spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Kumud Santa Goswami Maharaj. Then, similar obeisances offering my Sikha Gurudev, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Respected devotees and non-devotees and audience, I am offering proper respect to all. Today, I have come from Gaudiya Math for glorifying my Sikha Gurudev, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Once upon a time, maybe 1962, I came for Navadvip Parikrama with my Guru Maharaj. After finishing the Parikrama, that means Gaur Purnima days, my Guru Maharaj told me, "You go and take mercy, my God brother A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swamiji there." That time I came for take his mercy. When I entered the room, that time Srila Maharaj asked me, "What is your identity?" That time I replied, "I am the small disciple of Srila Bhakti Kumud Santa Goswami Maharaj." That time Srila Maharaj saying, "Oh, Santa Goswami Maharaj, he is my god brother. He and I, without any difference, come, come, you are my disciple also." So extraordinary personality, a bona fide spiritual master, is the merciful incarnation of Lord Krishna. Without any doubt, Srila, one senior Vaishnava, who is the direct disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada, he was also my Sikha Guru, Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj, one time told so many audience there, "My God brother A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, not only sannyasi, but he is empowered personality in cosmic manifestation." So extraordinary personality took with birth Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So I am so fortunate, I feel, according to my understanding, today I offering again my humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But one second, that time Srila Maharaj told me, "Chant Hare Krishna. If you want to peace and prosperity your life, chant Hare Krishna, then happy. Then you will happy." I told Srila Maharaj, "Give me your mercy, then maybe success in future life of us." Hare Krishna, here is ending my lecture. Vansha kalpatarubhasya kripa sindhu bhayavacha patidanang pavanebhu vaishnavebhu namo namo. Jai Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki Nitai Gaur Brahmanande Hari Hari Om.
The Abhishek's at 12 o'clock as previously announced. I'd like to take this opportunity to beg forgiveness from those of you who have not had the opportunity to speak, who have not been able to call. Please forgive me for that. We only have a few minutes left. Sachi Mata, Mataji, will speak a few words.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gaurabhani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Desha Tarine. आप लोग इधर भी ज्यादा हिंदी भाषी है तो अगर आप लोग अनुमति देंगे तो मैं थोड़ा अपना हृदय का बात हिंदी में एक्सप्रेस करके बोल से ज्यादा इंग्लिश में इतना नहीं बोल सकूंगी। आपको आप लोग को इजाजत है? ठीक है। तो मेरा इस्कॉन में आना, मेरे इतना योग्यता नहीं था और मैं 17 साल की उम्र में इतना कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस संबंध में भी कुछ नहीं जानते। ये मेरे गुरु महाराज प्रभुपाद की अहित की कृपा है मेरा पर, जो मैं उन्होंने हमको अलाउ किया अपना इस्कॉन में। तो दो ठो इंसिडेंट, दो ठो घटना आपको छोटा रूप में बता देती हूँ। जो एक ठो लव है, जो भगवान प्रभुपाद कितना प्यारे थे, और दूसरा कि प्रभुपाद कितना बड़ा शासक थे। एक बार 1971 मेरा दीक्षा का दिन था, उसके पहले दिन पहले ये भजन कुटीर में जयपता का स्वामी महाराज और जननिवास प्रभु, ब्रह्मानंद, बहुत बड़े बड़े प्रभुपाद की सब सीनियर डिवोटी डिसाइपल्स थे, हाम और शुमाना दोनों बंगाली डिसाइपल्स होने वाले थे उस टाइम। तो उसी दिन ना, पहले दिन हम उधर में खड़े थे, प्रभुपाद डांट रहे थे देवानंद गोस्वामी महाराज को, देवानंद महाराज कि कुछ गलती किया उन्होंने। तो प्रभुपाद बोला कि आप लोग देश विदेश से आए हैं, ठीक है, भारतवर्ष का जो मायापुर में जो गाड़ी, रिक्शा गाड़ी चलाते हैं, बैलगाड़ी चलाते हैं, उससे उसके पास जितना नॉलेज है, संस्कार है, आपके पास इतना नहीं है, तो हमारा इधर आके व्यभिचार नहीं करने देंगे आपको। अगर रहना है तो चार ठो नियम ठीक से फॉलो करके चलो, और नहीं तो भागो, हम अपना मिशन अपने आप ही चला लेंगे। उसी दिन हमारा डाउट चला गया कि मेरे को भगवान ठीक जगह पर, ठीक सदगुरु के पास लाए हैं। अच्छा, दूसरे उसी दिन मेरा दीक्षा था, तो प्रभुपाद जी सबको अच्छे अच्छे नाम देते हैं, भागवत से, महाभारत से, इतने अच्छे अच्छे नाम देते हैं। तो हमको बहुत इरादा था कि प्रभुपाद मेरे को भी एक सुंदर नाम देंगे। तो मेरा नाम इंद्राणी था पहले, तो सबसे लास्ट मेरा को प्रभुपाद माला दिया, चार नियम से पूछा, तो मैंने बताई सब ठीक। उसके बाद उन्होंने अनाउंस किया मेरा नाम, तुम्हारा नाम सच्ची माता। तो मैं थोड़ा डिसअपॉइंटेड हो गया कि मेरे को अभी इतना उम्र में मेरे को गुरु महाराज सच्ची माता बना दिया। तो सिले प्रभुपाद ने फिर बोला कि देखो तुम दुख मत करो, तुम्हारे लिए जगन्नाथ मिश्र मैं जल्दी जल्दी ढूंढ देंगे। तो फिर सबको, आप लोग जैसे हंस रहे उसी दिन सबको ही हंसे थे। फिर मेरा तो बहुत रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी था, अपनी बड़ी लड़की थी, अपनी फैमिली में पिताजी बहुत बीमार थे, तो प्रभुपाद ने मेरे को पहले ही हमको आज्ञा दिए थे कि तुम बाहर में पढ़ा के अपना फैमिली चलाओ। तो प्रभुपाद की वो चिट्ठी अभी भी प्रभुपाद की बुक में है, वॉल्यूम लेटर वॉल्यूम में है। तो प्रभुपाद जी ने मेरे भाई लोग को एक से एक बढ़कर आशीर्वाद दिया। तो एक तो अभी वो कैप्टन है जहाज का, एक सोल प्रोपराइटर है लिफ्ट एलिवेटर का, तो हमारे भाई लोग आज बहुत ही अच्छा पोजीशन में है। उसके बाद है ना, प्रभुपाद जी ने अपने फैमिली में मेरे को बुला लिया, यही सबसे बड़ा प्रभुपाद का मेरे पर आशीर्वाद है। हरि बोल,
हरि बोल, हरि बोल। हिज होलीनेस भक्ति रक्षक नारायण महाराज विल स्पीक फॉर अ कपल ऑफ मिनट्स।
गुरवे गौरचंद्राय राधिकाय तदालये, कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय तद्भक्ताय नमो नमः। सर्वाग्रे परम करुणामय पतित पावन श्री भगवानेर अभिन्न प्रकाश विग्रह भगवत ज्ञान प्रदाता नित्य लाभ प्रविष्ट श्रीनिवास तत्व से सर्वभक्ति दयित माधव गोस्वामी महाराज आतुल चयने प्रणत हई ताहार हईते कृपा प्रार्थना करी। नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट श्रीला जगद्गुरु श्रीला भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी ठाकुर चरणे प्रणत ही तार हईते कृपा प्रार्थना करी। स्वपरिकर सपार्षद प्रभुपाद चरणे प्रणत ही तार हईते कृपा प्रार्थना करी।
महाराज बेगिंग द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द
gurus and previous acharyas.
Amaro Himna Guru Padma Nitya Pushtam Ushnava Bhakti Vedanta Swami Mahari Charane Pranatahi Tarohiti Kripa Parthana Kari Orto Sohai Tidundi Padgani Charan Kona Bandara Kari Tata Vishnu Brindo Bhavakata Savan Pipasu Sajjan Brindo Mati Brindu Kijotha Vivagan Gapan Kari Ajke Shubhadati Thi Ji Mahapurushir Tirubhav Tithi Asbha Shubhagya Labh Karchi.
So today is very auspicious tithi with a great personality like Srila Prabhupada. On this tithi he has left the planet. So I'm very fortunate to come to this assembly.
Amar Shubhagya is our life. Pujyapad Maharaj ki tar darshan, tar bhashan, among tar kripa ashirvad upadesh bani anek borshan kari chilen.
So I have received his darshan. I have heard a lot of things from him and I have got his blessings. I accept this. This will show me the right path in my life.
Tini jokhon bideshe prothom prochar kore ashen 35 Satish Mukhajurari ami chilam.
So when he first came back after preaching in Western countries, I was staying in Satish Mukhajurur along with Pujyapad Maharaj.
Tidurni Swami Jayapataka Swami Sheshama Chilen.
So Jayapataka Swami Maharaj was also staying that time there.
So Pujyapad Maharaj kache jokhon giye chilam, ami jiggesha kortam Maharaj, ei briddho boyoshe ए विषय की भावना तो आपने प्रचार करे आश्लेषन।
So I asked to Maharaj that in this old age, how could you manage to go all over the world to preach?
तीन बोलें, कृष्णा रंजन, हमारे गुरुदेव भक्ति शिष्यों तो सौशल गुस्सेमी ठगरी अशेष कृपा, अभी जाए ना पर फिर जावो की ना कि तार कृपा अवधान थे, अभी यात्रा सब प्रचार कर जो संपन्न करी।
Then he addressed Maharaj saying his previous name, Brahmachari name. That this has happened only, it has become possible only by the mercy of my spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sahasrara Prabhupada. I preach, but I don't know whether I will be able again to go back to West or not.
Amar naam Krishna Ranjan, uni jiggesha korlen, dekho, ami bishwo ghure ashlam, Bharat bhumi tader kache, trinatullo, kintu Sriman Mahaprabhur shikkhay, bata obodanite bharatbarsho bishwer mathar kache mukut rupe rupe prabhab prapto hocche.
Krishna Ranjan, I went to Western countries. In their eyes, the India was just like a straw. But now, because of the teachings of Mahaprabhu, now whole Bharat or whole India is going to raise its head and stand high in the whole entire earthly planet.
তুই ছোটবেলা থেকে মঠে এসেছো হরিনাম করবে, হরিনাম করলে বিশ্বের শান্তি, নিজের শান্তি। অতএব তোমায় উপদেশ দিচ্ছি নিরন্তর হরিনাম করবে।
So you have come from your childhood to this movement, so I advise you chant holy name. If you chant holy name, you will be happy and the whole world will be happy.
তার সম্বন্ধে অনেক কথা বলবার থাকলেও তো সময় অল্প, তো আজকের দিনেতে তার পাদপদ্মেতে আমি বাণী পুষ্পাঞ্জলি দিয়ে আমি তার কৃপা প্রার্থনা করছি। তিনি জগতে যেজন এসেছিলেন বা জগতে যে প্রচার করে গেছেন, চৈতন্যচন্দ্রের দেয়া কর বিচার, বিচার করলে চিত্তে পাবে চমৎকার। তার অবদান বৈশিষ্ট্য আলোচনা করলে অনেক সময় লাগবে। তো আজকের দিন বলুন,
আচ্ছা I have so many things to speak about him and but time is very limited. What Mahaprabhu has said, Prithiviti Asura Nagara Digram Sabrat Pracharita Havavar Nam, he has translated this Mahaprabhu, what he has predicted, he has translated to reality.
Tini Kripa Kure, Je Bodhish Jagat Dekhechen, Je Bostu Jagat Diyechen, Ajker Dine Tar Charone Prarthona Korchi, Tini Amake, Ebong Jagatke, Aro Tini Tar Loknocho Antoraye Thakleo, Upor Theke Kripa Bari Barshan Korun.
So what he has given to the whole world, I today on this auspicious day I pray at his lotus feet. Even if he has his own people, still he gives some mercy to me also.
তার পাদপদ্মে এই বাণী পুষ্পাঞ্জলি দিয়ে আমার বক্তব্য এখানে সমাপ্ত করছি।
I'd like to end my speech by offering this পুষ্পাঞ্জলি of my glorification unto his lotus feet.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Nitai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Jai Nitila Pishto, Ushla Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Ki.
Narayan, His Holiness Narayan Maharaj, he's there like one of the head topmost person here. We have Saraswata Gaudiya Parivar, he is the leader of this Parivar. We are very, very grateful to all these devotees and Bharati Maharaj, Bodhayana Maharaj. We are very, very grateful that they have come to offer their offerings to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you all so much. Hare Krishna.